Blog Talk Radio.
Up our act. All right. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Oh, tonight we got a really good guest for you guys. I'm telling you, we got a guest. And this lady right here, she's doing some positive things. Okay. Her name is Miss Penelope Harris, and she's the owner of Distinguished Gentleman, okay, a men clothing store. And before I go any further, I'm going to ask Miss Penelope, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thank you, Mr. B. I like to call you Mr. B. Thank you so much for having me on your show. My name is Penelope Larry, and I am the owner, as you say, of Distinguished Gentlemen. I'm so excited about that and about being on your show. I just want to give you some history about me, some things, Mr. B, that maybe you'll learn about me, how I got to this place. Well, first of all, I kind of like my claim to fame is that I ran away from home when I was 17. That pretty, which was many, many moons ago. And so, but that started me on a trajectory to take risk. I'll say that. That's what that did for me. I was a, or still am, I was a high school dropout. Never finished high school, did not get my diploma, but I did get my GED. Dropped out of high school when I was 17. So I moved from Southern California to Northern California, attempted to go to school, but I was living in my dad's apartment complex. And so it went well for about 2 months, maybe three. And then my dad came and said to me, you're going to have to pay rent. Well, I had never paid rent before. I don't know how the lights were on at this point or how water was running in any place. I didn't know. And I said, okay, I didn't really take them serious because how was I going to pay rent at 17? I was still trying to get enrolled in school. And so for 2 months, I didn't do anything. I just still continued to go to school. He came back the second month, and he said to me, if you do not pay rent, then I'm going to evict you the following month. I didn't even know what eviction was, but I took him serious. And so from that, I dropped out of school and was trying to figure out how was I going to make money in order to pay for the apartment, which at the time was $250, which could have been $1,500, $250,000. Because it was just so much money for me at the time. But I ended up getting a job at a tip agency because I lied on my applications. It's so long ago now, so it doesn't matter if they catch me in a lie today. It's so long ago. And so I lied on the job application because when I was applying for jobs, people would always say, you need experience. Well, how can I get experience except first I got a job? So I thought about what did I know how to do, and I knew how to type. And as a matter of fact, I liked to type. I had learned typing in high school, and I could type really fast. And so I went to the temp agency, lied on the application. There's some details in that you don't need to know all my whole story about how I finagled and connived how to fill out the application because, but just let's say I just had a devious mind at the time. So I filled out the application, ended up getting a job. And then temp work, love working temp, did that for about 8 years total. I worked temporary because I like the flexibility and I like going from one job to the next. I like the newness. I like being in and working in different cities because I had moved to Oakland. And so then I could work in Oakland, Alameda, San Francisco. It was really good. From that, I decided in my 20s now that I wanted to own a men's shoe store. This is all me leading up to where I am today.
Hold on. You say you wanted to own a men's shoe store. Wow, that's great.
That was my first vision, a men's shoe store. It was going to be called The Art of Shoes, and it was to teach men the art of taking care of their feet and putting on a fine shoe. That was going to be my concept. And so I started traveling. I went traveling, but I went to Las Vegas. So there was a shoe show there. I went to New York because there was a shoe show there. And I loved shoes, but I got afraid of the investment that it was going to take, although people were very friendly and very supportive of me at the time, but I was probably around 22. I got afraid that, okay, how was this going to work? And I ended up not doing anything about my shoes. I just went on with life, went on with living.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ms. Penelope, I see that you hold a BS, I guess a Bachelor of Science in Marketing. Okay, and and also you lived in China, and you was an expert teacher. Explain to the audience what's an expert teacher, and how is China?
Oh, okay. Well, let me catch you up with the bachelor, because while I was in school. No, while I had not completed my GED, I went to another temp agency. As a matter of fact, it was an African-American-owned temporary agency because I met the owner in downtown in the streets of San Francisco. And we would just struck up a conversation. She told me what she did. I told her I was working temporary, and she told me most of her clients were African-American-owned companies and would I be interested in coming aboard with her. So I told her, yeah, I sure would. That's just, you know, working for someone black was unheard of. But to hear that at the time, I was so excited. And so I went to work for her. I only worked one job for her. And that one job changed my entire life. And I tell you when it changed my entire life, working with African Americans, I was in a clinical psychology consulting firm. And this was a consortium of African-American psychologists that would get together on projects. They still have their own individual work, but they would come together on projects and bid on projects for the city, for the county, for the state. And I was brought on as the office manager. That changed everything for me, seeing black professionals working together in the same office was mind-boggling. I loved it. And from that, because I said, remember, I was a good typist, and my people skills weren't that bad either. And from that, I started thinking I could help other people with typing. I just started thinking that. And so I asked my boss, a Dr. Pierce, who is gone on now from this earth, but was very instrumental in my life. I asked him if it would be okay if I would call some of his clients to see if they would have me type, if they had some typing for me. He gave me his blessings. He said, as long as it didn't interfere with his work or on his side. So at that time, I'm still young. I'm early 20s still, but I'm probably now around 23, 24. I don't have a computer. I don't own a computer. Computers are kind of fairly new. So I don't own one. They're still fairly expensive. And so he said, as long as it didn't familiar with his work, I could do it. And so I did. I began to cold call some of his clients to see if they had work. They did. Some of them did. It's like, yeah, I need that. And that's how I started my first company called Organizing People to Success, to help small and home-based businesses with their administrative support. Well, Dr. Pierce told me I could not continue to work for his company if I did not have a degree. So that's how I enrolled in college, so that I could pursue my bachelor's. At the time, yeah, I had already had my, I had attained my GED. I had got it maybe because, no, let me see, I got it at 25. Maybe I received my GED around 24, 25. Maybe I had to go back and get my GED so that I could go to college, or, and he probably didn't know. He probably didn't know. I probably was too embarrassed to say I did not have a GED, and he's asking me to go to college. I did not have a high school diploma, which I probably lied on the application, so I just couldn't go back.
Hey, don't feel bad, because back then, you know, it was a lot of African Americans didn't finish high school. I know I didn't. Mm. You know, I finished high school. I got a GED when I was in the military. You know, but you know, I didn't even attend college till I think I was in my 40s. I think I probably was the oldest one in my class. I was everybody was calling me OG.
OG, right.
Now, you know, in the classroom, you know what I mean? Hey, but it was cool. Everybody was nice, you know. It was really nice. The kids was nice. They helped me out. And I'm quite sure, did they help you out too when you went back to college?
Yeah, I wasn't too old, and I went to Golden Gate University in San Francisco, and Golden Gate University is really for mature students. Most of these people are already in jobs. They may be working in the field that they are studying in, and so the average student's age was probably around 35 at that school. It's like a bedroom or like a boutique. I call it a boutique. It's like a boutique university at that time. Maybe it had 500 students in the whole school. So it was very small. As a matter of fact, the only way to teach in the classroom is that you had to be working in that field. So teachers were not just teachers alone. They were also employed somewhere. So it was really good, because you could get real world experience in the classroom, because teachers would talk about, or our professors would talk about, what happened at work that day, a problem they were solving. Sometimes they would bring a problem they have at work, they would bring it into the classroom. So it was really good learning. I love that school. Well, I didn't finish there either. I dropped out of school from there. That's like a little tidbit right there. If I have some tidbits, my husband said to me years ago, this is husband number two, because maybe we'll get into that. But he would say to me, if you quit one thing, you'll quit another. And so I had quit my schooling. Although I walked across the stage, and my family came to see me graduate, and they probably did not know that I didn't have all my credits yet to graduate. But you know, in university, if you have so many credits, they allow you to walk, and then you come back the following semester, one or two, and then you finish up, and then you get your paper. Well, that's what I was doing. I had enough credits to walk, but not get my paper. And so I walked, and then the next semester, when I was enrolling in school to get my paper, my father had a heart attack. He was fine. I said, I'm going to take the semester off to help him get well. So I took the semester off. And then I said, I'm going to enroll in the next semester, because he got well. And then the next semester, he experienced another heart attack. And then I said, well, I'm going to take off the next semester to help him get well. I took off semesters. I didn't go back, because now my company is flourishing. Now I have 12 employees. I have two offices. I'm making money. I'm traveling around the world pretty much. Well, let's just say I traveled to Europe. mostly. I traveled to Europe. And I thought I was doing fine. I said, well, the thing that I'm going to school for is to make money I don't need. I said that to myself. And so mm-hmm. I didn't go back. I did not go back. And then when I was talking with husband number two, I don't think we were married. He was just asking me, as you are, about my life. What got me here? What am I doing? And I said to him what I was doing. And he said, you never finish your degree? And I said, I don't need it. He said, and that's when he said, well, if you don't finish one thing, you won't finish another. And when you have children, how will you be able to tell them to finish something and you didn't finish? Well, I thought I didn't want kids. Didn't matter. What difference did it make? I didn't want kids. He had a point.
Yeah.
And so I went to re-enroll. I went back to GGU to re-enroll, to get back, to start back where I left off, and only to know, and it's about maybe 5 or 6 years later, maybe 8, I'm not certain. I'd have to crunch the numbers to figure out the exact date. The curriculum had changed. And so the curriculum that I first enrolled in no longer existed. And so because the curriculum had changed, the criteria to graduate had changed, and they wanted me to get on the new curriculum. And I said to them, no way. So instead of needing 5 classes, which is what I needed when I left, I needed 11. I said, no way, it's cost prohibitive. Probably not the word I used back then because it's high level, but I didn't have the money. And I would quit again, and I want to get my degree, and I want to get it from that university. And my counselor went somewhere to wherever the powers that be to state my case because I told him what my situation was. I was ready to go. My grades were good. GPA was good. And my father had a heart attack, which prevented me from – it was a life circumstance that prevented me from getting my degree. And so they said to me, write an essay about what happened, and we'll take it to the committee. I said, write. Man, that's my wheelhouse, because I could write. You want me to write a letter? Man, Mr. B, I wrote a letter so compelling. Whatever it was I was asking for, I would have given it to me. So,
wow. This story here that you are telling is very, very interesting. You know, and I'm quite sure the people that's listening in right now, the audience that's listening in right now can really appreciate that because there's so many of us, you know, in America, we go through the same thing. You know, we go through all, you know, we start something and we don't finish it.
Right.
You know, how many times have I started stuff and didn't finish it? And everybody that's listening in right now, okay, we got a board of people listening in. We got people listening in all over the United States plus overseas. And I'm quite sure that they have, you know, started stuff that they didn't finish. And that's kind of and your second husband told you right. Say, how can you tell your kids to finish stuff when you didn't finish it? You know, but I'm interested in finding out, you know, how did you form Distinguished Gentleman, you know, and you formed that in 2007. But before you go into that, Ms. Penelope, I would like to make an announcement to the audience that you are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show with Ms. Penelope Larry, and she's an author as well as an owner of Distinguished Gentleman. Okay, so if you guys want to join the conversation or ask Ms. Penelope a question, please press 1, and I would make sure that you guys can get on air with us, and, you know, you can answer the question, okay? Okay, so go ahead on, Ms. Penelope, continue.
Good. Well, I'm going to jump over there, but just opposition always comes. And so when we want to do something, as soon as we get opposed, sometimes we just stop. The fight, we stop the walk, we stop the struggle, we stop going that way because opposition comes. But I just asked the question, and GGU ended up reinstating me at the same course curriculum that I left on that they had to put back in the system. Just from me asking the question, they said they had never done that before. It had never happened, which was fine with me because it didn't need to happen except for me. And so I guess I was able to get my bachelor's. From that, I immediately went to get my master's. I'm telling you the good part of the story. You let me know if you want me to get into the struggle of it all, because in anything, well, with me, my life, it has been struggle. I'm telling you that I made it out now, and so you're hearing what good came out of it in that struggle, even when I was, well, I told you that. Let me know if you wanted me to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you anyway. But this, in the struggle, after I received my bachelor's, this was, and I say husband number two because now you know I was married one time for 7 years, not a problem with husband number one, but we ended up not working out. This was while I was still going to school. This was while I was still running my first company. This is while I still was running two offices and was doing all that time while I was still going through a divorce during that time also. Just still some opposition. But then when after I received my bachelor's, I wasn't working. Now I have two children. Now I'm staying at home. I'm trying to figure out how to be a mother. My children, they're young. My husband says to me, my husband number two, he says, recommends I get my master's. And I did that. I got my master's all online, which is ironic because all the classes are all online now, but I received my master's in 2012. While I was finishing, I was looking at what was I going to do, because at this time, I hadn't really worked for anybody. I was either not working or I was working for myself. And my husband and I were trying to think about what was I going to do after I got the master's. Now, mind you, this is now 2008, around that time where my husband was a real estate broker. The real estate market was not doing well. It was a bust. It was during this time our house was in foreclosure. I had to move from our house. We ended up moving to another home and then to a hotel and then to another house and then to another hotel during this 2 years that I was still going to school online, wow. Getting my master's. All this moving around was two children, ages, probably my children were around 5 and 7. And so there was a component of this master's program that you receive the coach, if you want it, the coach to help you decide how to navigate your life after getting the master's. I took on the coach. She asked me, what did I really want to do? And I told her what I really wanted to do. I really didn't want to work for anybody. I loved to travel because I had traveled, not extensively, but I had been some places or two, and I loved it. I loved being in different cultures, learning about different people, how people lived, absolutely loved it. There came online on their job board a position in China. Yeah. And 2 weeks prior to that, my husband and I were having breakfast, and he just said, while we were having this discussion about what to do after the master's, wouldn't it be nice if we moved to China? He just said that.
Wow.
Not anything, never been to China, no consideration. I had never traveled to Asia before. There was no consideration. And then 2 weeks later, when I see this job in China on the job board, it had me thinking, because he had just mentioned China. Otherwise, I wouldn't have thought about it at all, or I would not have thought, I would not have had a second thought about it. I mentioned it to my coach. And she says, Penelope, I mentioned to her about the job description. She said, this is just what you want. I was like, yeah, but, you know, it's in China.
I mean, but, you know, when you went to China, you know, and you start teaching it, was it difficult? Because, you know, I just can't understand, you know, I can't see you as you American, you as an American, I mean. And you said China, do they speak English up there? What's the deal? Oh, you know how to speak Chinese, so what's the deal in teaching over there?
I said, I speak, let me see, 我教一点点. I say, I speak a little Chinese.
Oh, you do?
And so,
oh, okay.
对.
Okay.
Yes. And so, my Chinese is good when people don't know Chinese. Let me just say that. And so, when you know Chinese, I can understand the words. It's difficult to a language to speak, but I understand more than I can speak. You say something, I can answer you in English, pretty much. But they don't speak a lot of English, but some people do because they want to learn their English. In China, where we were, have a policy that they were actively recruiting native English speakers so that they could teach upper division classmen English. So I taught in English. My classrooms were on an average 42 to 43 people. The largest class I ever taught was 89 people. But the students that spoke the best English sat up front. They were in my first 2 to 3 rows. So that's who I was teaching. And then the other ones were in the classroom to hear how the native tongue spoke. And they would learn from that. But they would all be required to take the test. I was able also to create a curriculum from start to finish, including the grading that they instituted in the university where I was teaching. It was a great experience. I loved it. My contract was for 1 year. 1 year went by so fast. It took 1 year to figure out where the dry cleaners was. Because you can't read Chinese. Things are behind. It's very secretive. And so
what part of China was you in?
Ooh, that's a good question. In Hangzhou. And Hangzhou is southeast of Shanghai. And Shanghai is south of Beijing, Beijing being the capital. Shanghai is where everybody goes. Shanghai is like the New York of China. You go to Shanghai, you don't even realize you're really in China. You see the places where you want to eat. It's very familiar in Shanghai, in Hangzhou. And I had two choices, to either travel to Shanghai or travel to Hangzhou. I chose Hangzhou because I thought I would get a more real-world experience. And I did. It was more the countryside, but it's a city of 8 million people.
Yeah.
It's very big. It's very big.
Wow.
And they do things differently than we do here. For instance, just this one little anecdote, what they call when you line up, just to get in anything. You know, you line up to get into the store. You line up to get a ticket. You stay in a line. We stay in a straight line. That's how we queue it up. Well, in China, they stay in a triangle, if you can imagine that. So they're in the shape of a triangle, and it's pretty much first come, first serve. And so someone that's not necessarily at the tip would be the next one up in line. It could be someone on the left side or the right side. They're the next one in line, and you just have to get up there quickly. And it's just the way they do it. They're not pushing and shoving. You got to run up when someone leaves the window, or as we were traveling one time, someone just stood behind me. This is all my personal space, and just stood behind me waiting for me to finish. And I'm trying to figure out my Chinese. Speaking, do I have the right tickets? Is this going where it says I'm going? How long is it? Do I have 4 tickets? I'm trying to figure all this out, and someone just comes in front of me and puts their money down in front of my tickets, like, you're done here. So it was.
Wow.
It was,
yeah, because I know in America, you know, I've seen Chinese people. Matter of fact, I hadn't had it done to me. You turn this way, they didn't cut. They didn't came right in front of you.
Yeah,
you know, and we
different.
Think that's rude, but that's just their culture. What I'm hearing you saying.
Yeah, it's a cultural.
So you got to protect your spot.
Yeah, you have to protect your spot. Make sure you and I would run up too, just like them.
Okay, one. Okay, we done. Oh man, we done did. We got lots. I wanted to cover with you, and we done did a whole half an hour and just where you've been. And I mean, this is just so exciting, educational, and things of that nature. But I want to come back to Distinguished Gentlemen, the clothing store, because I really wanted you to get into the meat and grind of that. Okay, but you also a published author.
Yes.
Okay, and the book is staying connected to the source. Okay, now tell the audience a little bit about your book and why you wrote this book.
Well, the book, you want me to talk about Distinguished Gentleman and then the book, or the book and then Distinguished Gentleman?
No, I want you to talk about the book first, okay?
Okay.
And then I want to come, we're going to close with Distinguished Gentleman because I want you to, you know, let the audience know where you are, where you're located and all the different type of men clothes you have and all the goodies you have and the... last time I was up and now you have like a program to where as though they can get points and get money off and things of that nature. I mean, so just, I'm excited about it. So let's talk about your book. I know that's important too, but let's talk about that first and then I want you to go back into the meat and grind of Distinguished Gentlemen.
Okay, because many moons ago that I wrote it and it came from my journals because as I was saying, I was going through some very trying times of which we didn't really get into in this show. But and I would keep journals about where I was, my mind, trying to stay sane, having children, going through divorce, losing our home, living in hotels, living in another house that knowing it was going to get foreclosed on and then living there. And I would just keep journals. Out of my journals came my book. I am the true vine, staying connected to the source. And it's during all of these times, all of these what I would call trials and tribulations that I really developed a relationship with Christ. Actually, when I began to be more committed to Christ was really when I matured in my faith and as a woman and really became committed to the responsibilities that I had as a woman, a wife, a mother, a sister, an auntie, these things that I must take care of. And so I wrote the book about my journey and how I stayed connected to the source. And my source is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my source.
Wow.
And so, yes, my source. That's how I attribute everything that I've been through now through my relationship with Christ. Yeah, I don't think I could be here and be in the state that I'm in if I had not developed that relationship with him, which was a part of my journey. And so everything that I went through was to help me develop that relationship. And it is from that relationship that I sit here so happy today out of everything that I've been through, everything. And so how I started to see was gentlemen is that while I was in China, came back because my dad got sick. This is dad number two. And because I have a biological father is who I was stopped school for. And then I have a stepfather who I never called my stepdad, but just for reference, I'm saying it, that he became sick in San Diego. My family was asking me, come back, we need some help. I come back. I said, I'm going to come back if I'm led to. Because now I had a relationship with Christ. If I'm led to, if I have employment, because when we went to China, we didn't have much money, but I was making money in China because I was a teacher and they treat teachers, professors differently. Well, how would I know? I was not even a professor in the USA, so I don't know how they treat you. But I applied for a job at San Diego State, interviewed, got the position. Flew back to USA, started working at San Diego State. My husband, who was originally from Sacramento, came up to Sacramento because one of his cousins died. I'm truncating the story for the sake of time. And then he said he felt the Lord was leading us to move back to Sacramento. But I had only been in San Diego for a year. I'm originally from San Diego. I didn't grow up with my family because, like I said, I ran away from home at 17, and I loved it. I love being in San Diego. I love being around my family, and they had barbecues, and they were celebrating people's birthdays, and people had been born that I had not met before. I loved it. And so I was a little disappointed that we had to move back to Sacramento, but I'm married. I'm a woman of God. I'm subject to my husband. And so we moved back, and I said, well, what am I going to do now? Well, somebody at one of my colleagues at San Diego State knew a director at Sac State, Sacramento State University, made a phone call, told her about me, sent my resume, said, yep, we have a position, applied for the position, got the job, started working at Sacramento State, didn't miss a beat. And someone was selling their men's clothing store. They were clothing their store while I was at Sac State. And my husband said, we should look at that store. Why? He said, this could be your dream. This could be your opportunity to live your dream. My dream was 30 years old. And so that's what I acquired, someone else's store. And I had nowhere to go. I put the clothes in storage, everything. I bought clothes. I bought fixtures. I just put it in storage. He was liquidating, you know, so it was a good price.
Yeah.
Had nowhere to go, and then met somebody through someone else in the park that had the location where I am, where you met me. Someone else was there before I got there. And we said we were going to partner up. Well, the partnership didn't work. And I stayed. I was still working at Sac State part-time, coming to the store part-time. And then I felt led to not go back to Sac State. And so I quit before one spring semester started. And I started being in the store full-time. I am in year three. I absolutely love it. I am just now to the point where I'm feeling like it is my store, where I'm learning my customers. And this is why now, why we just started. Yes, Mr. B.
And, you know, I want to tell the audience this year. I just, it was a gentleman named Gary, a friend of mine's on Facebook. I don't know if he's listening in right now, but I really want to thank him, you know, for sending me over there, you know. And when I went over there, I felt like home. It's like I didn't want to leave. And them ladies, they take care of you. They make sure that when you over there, your clothes fit and everything else. I mean, that just was like, wow. It was like God sent, you know. I mean, God, you know, I can't tell you what type of clothes she have up in there. I'm going to let her tell you, okay? Tell the audience what type of men clothes, what y'all do, you understand, to make a man feel good about himself and look good and things like that. Tell the audience, you know, tell them everything.
All right. Thank you, Mr. B. Well, we have clothes for grown folks. So we don't offer any urban wear. I feel like men should dress a certain way. They should look a certain way when they go out of the house. And so we don't have any clothes that's going to make you sag your pants or make you dress like your 20-something-year-old son or nephew. We really push or offer. Walking suits, I love that, because a lot of men, Sacramento, where we live, is pretty lax. And so men here, they're apt to wear sweats and jeans and basketball shorts, like that's the wardrobe. And so walking suits, though, allow you to still be casual yet comfortable at the same time. A lot of people don't want to wear a suit these days. But the walking suit is what used to be called a leisure suit, but it's a walking suit. Now, they have updated the look. It's a shirt with the matching pants. And so generally in the summertime, short sleeve, winter is long sleeve. I'll get matching hats with it, matching shoes, just so men can, I like the way you said that, can feel like men. And so I have a team also that works with me. My sister, Evelyn Turner, she comes in as my stylist. in the store. My other sister, Melanie, she does most of my marketing, so you'll sometimes hear her on the phone or she gives ideas. She is pretty much the curator of things that come in the store, making sure that we have the right look. There's a certain look that we want to have for the men that come in this store, and pretty much is how I want to see a man. This is how I want men to look. Nice, fine. You put on some nice clothes. And our price points are good, too. This is what we do. This is part of our job, is to find clothes that are reasonably priced so that we can purchase them and then we can offer them reasonably priced so that men can continue to come into the store and update their wardrobe or what's the word? It's like just get a new wardrobe.
Yeah. I'm a witness, you know. The price is right. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, hey, where can you go get a nice suit, leisure suit, shirt, pair of pants, matching, and everything for like $49 or $59? You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just a pair of pants gonna cost you $99.
Hey,
and these are top of the line clothes.
There's
I'm
no
wondering, hey, how you keep staying open?
That's
you know,
part of our job is to do the homework, to search where we can shop so that our customers can come shop with us. And I like how you said about the atmosphere too, because that's what we're still working on, creating an atmosphere where people enjoy coming to shop, not just people, but men, because a lot of times men do not find shopping enjoyable.
I know I don't, but it's enjoyable over there because there's so many beautiful clothes and so many.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are just, I mean, you know, you guys are amazing, just amazing. You know, again,
thank
I want to thank Gary, you know. And let me make this announcement right quick to the audience. You are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show with Miss Penelope Larry. Okay, she is the owner of Distinguished Gentleman. And so if you guys want to say, you know, ask a question or elaborate on something or just say something, you know, press 1 so I can let you in. Okay, we only got 15 minutes left on the show, so you guys jump on in because 15 minutes going to go so fast until it's pathetic. Okay, back to you, Miss Penelope.
And let me tell people where to find me. It's like, well, where is the store? Okay, so you can find us online we're in two places, at distinguishedgentleman.online. DistinguishedGentleman.online is all one word, DistinguishedGentleman and .online. It is not .com. It is .online. Or a shorter version, but it leads to the same place, is DG610.com, if someone's taking notes. DG610.com. If you are local, we can be found at 5801 Watt Avenue in North Highlands. Our telephone number, code 916-696-2764. That's 916-696-2764. My name is Penelope Larry.
Mm-hmm. All right, I love it. I just love it. Also, you know, tell the audience, you know, that I see that you are first lady also. So if you want to talk about that, you know, you can talk about that also. I think it's very important because, you know, what you was explaining in your book, staying connected to the source, and also you was, you know, letting the audience, you know about your obstacles that you went through in life. And I'm quite sure a lot of people that's listening in right now and been through a lot of obstacles in life, man, you know, with sickness, with just life itself, you know, and, you know, you had to have something or someone or somebody you believed in, you know, you had to have the source. So, talk to the audience a little bit.
So that's my journey. I'm always eager to talk about Christ. People can do what they want to do, but from where I came from and what I have been through, I attribute the journey, as I was saying before, just to developing a relationship with Christ. And that's how I met my husband. Before I was married to husband number two, I was planning to move to Paris. That's where I was going to live. And I was paring down my first company so that I could do that. But I had said to the Lord, I'm going to just develop a relationship with you, come hell or high water, no matter what. Because prior to that, Mr. B, things would go good, and I would stop serving the Lord. They would go bad, okay, I would go bad. They would go good, I would stop. You know, I thought it was me. And then I just said, I'm just going to stop doing that. Like, whatever you take me through, I'm just going to stay here. And I stayed there. And that was highs and lows, a lot of lows. I'm on a high right now, but a lot of lows. And so from that, my husband, who was not a pastor when I met him, but was saved. He was saved. He had a relationship with Christ. I was dibbling and dabbling. But I had made that decision maybe 3 months before I met him. And so when he was in hot pursuit of me, now I can say it because I have the microphone, man, he was in hot pursuit of me. And to be honest with you, I was not interested because my goal was to move to Paris. But I asked the Lord, who is this guy concerning me? Because he would keep calling, and I wouldn't call him back, and he would still call. You know, most brothers, you don't call them in a day or two. They, like, miss me on that because ego. But he would call me back. I asked the Lord, who is this guy concerning me? And the Lord said to me very clearly, he is your husband.
Wow.
And from that, I answered the call.
Wow.
This life in the ministry has been very trying to friends that were my friends when I wasn't in the ministry to not being my friends, or, you know, when we were losing our home and ultimately lost the home, people thinking that we must have done something, and some people were glad that we were losing our home because we were of some stature. Some people were glad that we were in our home, and I found out who my real friends were. It's a very small circle. It's still small.
Yeah.
But now
I can definitely understand what you're talking about. I don't want to jump into this, your conversation, but I have to jump in because I can definitely understand where you're coming from. It's sometimes people, when you making a step, and if it's positive, and especially if it's to better you, and sometimes they got people, you know, when you make that step, they push you back. They do all kind of things for you to start stepping back because they don't want to see you advance. But I tell you, you stay connected to the source, and your source was,
you know,
God.
What happened to me was, I developed a relationship with Christ for myself. My relationship was based upon what someone else said, what I saw someone else had. But I began to spend time with the Lord for myself. I began to read the Word, not just on Sunday and then peruse the Scripture after I get it off of Sunday morning. Oh, and then let me look at it when I get home. No, I began to pray. I began to seek the Lord, to ask him for the spiritual language. And all hell broke loose, but God prevailed. And so the Bible says, this is my favorite scripture right now. They keep changing, but God is able to make all grace from 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Amplified Version is what I love, that God is able to make all grace, every favor, an earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I found out that all I needed was God.
Wow. For my- that's powerful. That's powerful.
Oh.
And that's
somebody.
All we all need. Now, I do know,
woo!
I don't, that's powerful. I don't want to get off of that because it's powerful, but I need for you to tell the audience, you got a program going on right now as we speak with distinguished gentlemen, you know, the program where they get points and things like that, and they get, you know, cash off for their shopping. Talk to the audience about that. Tell them about that program.
Oh, thank you, Mr. B. That's our loyalty program. And so it says, if you are loyal to us, we will be loyal to you. And so for every piece of fabric, every outfit, everything that you buy from the store, you receive points for it. And then when you get so many points, then you begin to get further discounts off of your merchandise that you buy in the store. I say further discounts because we give discounts for military, because we are so grateful for those that gave their lives for me to even be able to sit on your show to uplift community. So we give discounts for that, for military, for seniors, for students. And so we just want to tell the community that we appreciate you shopping in our store. We don't take that for granted. We don't take it lightly. And so we want to reward you for that. And so we instituted a loyalty program in year three. I've been trying to do it for the last 2 years, trying to figure it out. But I just got something figured out. So that's our loyalty program. You come in, you get started right away. Even to sign up, you can still get points from that. So I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, and so I recommend, you know, Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and our staff, we recommend you guys go down and shop with distinguished gentlemen, you know, and get these discounts. You know, if you can save $5, $6, $10, $20, $30, save that. It ain't no other companies, you understand, nowhere in the neighborhood where they are at doing that. McDonald's ain't giving you nothing. McDonald's hamburgers, if they're a dollar, that's exactly what you're going to have to pay, a dollar. They're not going to give you a discount because you did five hamburgers. You understand? I mean, I'm quite sure the audience know what I'm talking about. So what I'm saying is that, you know, go and shop over there. You know, pile up those discounts. You know, maybe you might be able to pile up until Christmas. You know, and you might be able to get your someone a Christmas present. Maybe a shirt, you know, with your discount. Mm. Maybe a pair of pants. I don't know. You know?
That's good. And once your points become redeemable, you have 12 months to use them. So I just tell people, just keep coming back. We are, Distinguished Gentlemen is like a boutique for men, where, you know, women, they go to a boutique, you never know what you're going to find, but they just keep coming back because they add something new. We're not the normal men's clothing store. We're not a men's warehouse. We don't have 1,000 of the same suit. We have maybe one or two in that, in your size. That's it, so that you don't see someone else walking down the street in the same thing that you have on. You're going to be unique. You will be distinguished. You will be distinct. Distinctive.
Right.
Yeah, we offer.
And you know what I like about it? Also, when you go up in there, when you leave out of there, your clothes going to fit you.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure that your clothes, that the clothes you buy from them fits you, is because you representing them when you wear their clothes. So they're going to make sure that you're taken care of.
Oh, that's a good point too, Mr. B, because we have alteration services. And we just put out an advertisement that you don't necessarily have to have purchased your clothes from Distinguished Gentlemen in order to use our alteration services, because we think you should look good whether or not you have clothes from Distinguished Gentlemen or not. One of my pet peeves is that a lot of men wear their pants, they're too long. They just need to be hemmed. But just come to Distinguished Gentlemen. Let us take for your pants so that they fit you. You don't have to wear your slacks too long.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we only got a few minutes left for the show. And so, Miss Penelope, if you want to leave anything positive with the audience before we leave tonight, what would that be?
Well, I appreciate uplifting community because in community, of course, is the word unity. And when we all work together, yeah, I have a clothing store. I can help you out. You can also help me out. And I say overcome every obstacle that comes your way because on the other side of that are great relationships. If I had not started Distinguished Gentlemen, I would not have met Mr. Brown, probably not at Sacramento State University or in that educational circle that I was traveling in. And so I say go after your goals. You have one life to live. Why not live it well? You have one life to live. Why not do exactly what you want to do? Live your life. Live your life so that you can live whatever is left happy. And so I invite you to come to Distinguished Gentlemen. If you are in the area, come down and check out our atmosphere. We're going to be doing a lot of things this spring also at 5801 Watt Avenue in North Highland. If you want to reach out to us, we make appointments also. Oh, because our hours, because of COVID, they have been cut in half. So our hours are Thursday through Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 12 noon to 5 p.m. And we'll extend that probably because of daylight savings time. We're flexible there too. And then Monday through Wednesday, we are open by appointment. So you have access really to us every single day of the week except Sunday because we're going to church. And then if you want to reach out to us on Instagram, you can find us at The Store on Watt, also on Facebook at The Store on Watt. So it's four words, The Store on Watt. Watt is the street that we are on. Reach out to us, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, like us on Instagram. You'll be glad that you did. Thank you. And thank you, Mr.
All
D.
Right.
For
all right. I want to thank the audience, you know, for you guys calling in, those that called in, listening at the show on the phone, those that's on a computer. And those that's overseas that's listening in India and in China. She was talking about China. Yeah, we have people in China listen at Uplifting Communities Talk Show also. Okay, in the UK. Yes, we do. And so I just want to thank everybody for, you know, tuning in. And with that said, you know, we're going to go ahead on and end the show with this nice song. I love this song right here.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act.
With that said, we refuse to be held down anymore. Okay, with that said, I'm going to say good night to everybody, and God bless y'all. Y'all have the rest of the night really good. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.